This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And before we get too far into the show, Anthony, I'm still on the right side of the screen on YouTube, and I don't know if I like it.
I like it.
You're a fan?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's cool to me.
He's a fan. All right, I guess this is going to be permanent.
Hold up, what was the final poll vote?
The poll got a lot closer. It was like a 60-40 split in favor of yes.
Did you vote no or something?
No, I did not.
You sure?
No, it got up there in some votes too.
Okay.
There was like a lot of votes by the end.
All right, bet. Say no more.
So
I voted.
Oh, so you tipped it?
Maybe.
You?
My dad might have voted as well.
I mean, if he watches the show, he gets a vote.
He does. He texts me every time. He'll send me like an eyes emoji. I'm watching you. I don't know if that's creepy or not.
This YouTube stream is just a ploy so that your dad can keep an eye on you.
I guess. And hold on. Today's his birthday. Shout out Big Tony.
Why didn't you tell me that before the show? Hold on.
Shout out Big Tony.
Shout out Big Tony, but also... Oh my God, Anthony! Really, we can't just be throwing out birthday shout outs all haphazardly.
Oh, my bad.
Oh my God, Anthony! We gotta make sure that we're ready for moments like this. You gotta. You can't just. Oh my God, you.
I apologize, sir.
Happy birthday to you. Hey. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Okay, that's it before the copyright violation. Because I think that one did go out over the YouTube stream, unlike a lot of the songs that we play. At 8 seconds, I think we'll be okay.
Yes.
And if Big Tony is watching on his birthday, we had to make sure he could hear it.
He might be at the spa.
The spa.
Yeah, my stepmom, he took off work today, and he never takes it. He's like me. I don't like to take off work. But he took off work, and I think he's definitely at the spa today.
I love that for him.
Yeah.
I say
he
we
could
go join
be him. Listening at the spa.
That's not very relaxing. Man, if this Java update doesn't click here. Sure, update my Java. Just stop beeping during. Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
There's all kinds of stuff happening. Oh, honestly, also, Anthony, you know the funniest part about this whole conversation is?
What?
All this getting ready. I never even started the stream. We're not even on YouTube right now.
Oh, man.
Good times.
Great times.
Good times. So I'm going to get that going, which is hard to do, and I'm just going to really get it going on a bare bones basis. We're just going to hit that, and we'll update the description and the title in a second. Ready, Anthony, in 3, 2, 1. Hello, Internet. Sorry you missed the first 6 minutes of the show. We were talking about you behind your back. You can check out the podcast to hear all about it. Okay, Anthony, on to the show. We start today with an article that Bill Barnwell wrote for ESPN.com. Of course, one of their senior writers, one of the smartest guys talking about writing about football in the entire business. And he did an article that described the Myles Garrett sweepstakes. And ultimately, at the end of this very long article, he has three teams that he thinks should be the biggest contenders for Myles Garrett. And amongst those three teams, guess which team he says should be the number one landing spot for Myles Garrett?
The Washington Commanders.
Indeed.
Yes, sir.
Indeed. He says,
we are the Commanders.
Should pursue Myles Garrett. The deal that he offers up, and I think what's cool about Barnwell's article, and this is in classic Bill Barnwell in-depth fashion, where he's got all of the angles, because it's not like a Commander should go get Myles Garrett article. It's a, here is a complete guide to the Myles Garrett sweepstakes article. So he's got some historical precedent in terms of other stars that have been traded around the same time in their careers and what the trade returns were. And he goes in depth on some of the caveats, like Darrell Revis was a much cheaper trade, even though he was at the best corner in football at the time, defensive player of the year type of guy. But he was also coming off a torn ACL when he got traded back in the day from, I believe it was New York, the Jets to New England. You know, Randy Moss was around the same age when the Oakland trade, but whoopsie daisies, the Raiders thought that Randy Moss was done, and then he goes to the Patriots and has the best season of his career. So, like, there are some caveats on some of these, but you go back in time and there's three team deals and all that. He then talks about some of the teams that could potentially get along or get be a part in three team trades and why they could be appealing. But he ultimately gets to the soup and the nuts of it at the end of it and says that the Washington Commanders are his favorite team to you know, he's got like a maybe group, the teams that put Garrett, or that Garrett puts over the top, and those are the Bills, the Lions, the Chargers, and the Eagles. And then he just says, yes, the sweet spot. These are the other teams that should be interested in a Garrett deal and have one key advantage over the other organizations I mentioned above, a cheap quarterback. It's easier for teams on a rookie deal, on rookie deals that are hoping to compete to go after him, given that they're paying their signal callers about $40 to $50 million less than the going rate for veteran passers. That's a lot of salary to spread elsewhere around the roster. So, the three teams are the Chicago Bears, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Washington Commanders. And he starts the Commanders right up with, I've saved the best candidate for last. The Commanders are the most obvious and consequential landing spot for Garrett. They have the championship potential, the financial flexibility, and the clear and obvious need for pass rushing help. And I would just like to, before we go any further with this discussion, Anthony, say that it is February 13th, 2025. And I would like you to think back to your mental state on February 13th, 2024, when it comes to the Washington Commanders. And imagine that I say the following sentence a year later, and that nobody would bat an eye at it. They have the championship potential, the financial flexibility, and the clear and obvious need for pass rushing help. You'd be like, yeah, they have financial flexibility and clear and obvious need for pass rushing. Wait, did you say championship potential?
Yeah.
We are 1 year into this. This time last year, Jaden Daniels was 2.5 months from becoming a Commander. And this is where we are. Speaking of Daniels, Barnwell writes, all of this starts with Daniels. The rookie sensation is still on a bargain deal for 3 more years before the Commanders would even have to consider a fifth-year option. That means 2027 is the year that we're concerned about in terms of, oh, God, we got to pay the quarterback a lot of money. They have $80 million in cap space in 2025. And again, that $80 million is worth caveating on two fronts. One, it's not as much as it sounds like because they have so many players they need to sign. It's also more than it sounds like because John Allen can get cut, created an extra $16 million to cap space at $0 in dead money, and that feels very, very likely that that could happen. You also have to think about how they were able to get most out of guys like Dante Fowler, who was on a $3.3 million deal last year. Dorrance Armstrong, you know, he's obviously in-house. And then you've got Alan Payne and Newton already on the inside. They need that chess piece. They need that movable piece on the outside. And Barnwell talks about how that has always been the key to getting the absolute best out of a Dan Quinn defense, is whether it's a Bobby Wagner in Seattle first time around, like young Bobby Wagner, whether it's Micah, guys like Earl Thomas, like having these movable chess pieces is how you get the most out of a Dan Quinn, or in this case, a Dan Quinn inspired and assisting Joe Witt defense. And so I think reading that article was interesting because The Athletic put out that thing that we talked about, you know, a week ago or whatever it was, where it's like two picks and a player, or two picks and two players even. And Barnwell seems to think it might just be one player and one pick, that the starting point is going to be a first rounder. And I think if you're Washington, that's going to be harder to sell because your first rounder is 29. So you might have to be, you know, giving up. What was I going to say? You might have to give up like two firsts where another team might only give up one, because if you're, for instance, fighting with Chicago and Indy, Chicago's got a top 10 pick. So how do you make your deal sweeter? And I think the ability to potentially get a third team involved, or the potential to include a larger package because your pick just is not as valuable, might be, you know, That ultimately, I think, is going to be the decision that Adam Peters has to make if the Browns open up this trade sweepstakes.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it from a commander standpoint, though, and what, you know, Adam Peters was able to do and what he's done, you know, in the past in terms of building through the draft, is also, you know, that balance of whether or not we can find, not to say we're going to find a Myles Garrett, but we know if we do end up, you know, pursuing Myles Garrett, the risk of giving up two firsts or, you know, three firsts or whatever the case may be. I think we were talking earlier, and I wouldn't mind giving up one first, maybe even two. But I think when you start to, you know, talk about more picks and, you know, multiple rounds and things of that nature, I think that's where I get a little scared, just because.
For sure. You have to replace those guys, because Miles, for as great as he is, can only play one position. He can't play one position at a time. He can't play, be your left tackle and your defensive end and your defensive tackle. But none of the things that you give up are going to turn into Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
None of the individual pieces. All of them are so much more replaceable than Myles Garrett. It's ridiculous. And if you're Cleveland, that's why they're currently like, we're not trading him. Right?
Yeah.
They're like, if we give up Myles Garrett, we've lost the trade because we've given up Myles Garrett. Now, for them, they're also not winning anything anytime soon. So for them to give up Myles Garrett now, get maximal return, and push the target down the road is actually probably the smart play. But for a team like Washington that some fans seem to have already forgotten, that are so hesitant, oh, we can't mortgage the future. Like, future's here, pal. Like, they made the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say you should go crazy, not to say you should do short-term everything, but you're not trying to kick the can down the road. You're like, oh, there's the can. We found it. Let's see what we can do right now. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the Free Odyssey app. We take some calls on that next before Dan Pizzuta joins us coming up at 4:30. Talking free agents as he's just dropped his NFL free agency list top 100.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's Often Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. I thought people went back to work today, Anthony.
I thought so. I thought they did too.
And yeah, we got no phone calls.
Do you think they're all Myles Garrett out?
I do not think that the Washington Commanders fan base is done with the Myles Garrett discussion.
Okay.
Yet. I do want to, real quick, though. I was just doing a little bit of homework on something. And yesterday around this time, Russell and I had the conversation about Zach Ertz. And yes, like, we were talking about how much you pay him, whatever. And I did a little bit more homework on this, and I don't know that they're going to be able to get Zach Ertz at the number that we talked about yesterday.
Why not?
Because Zach was ridiculously good last year. And, like, I was thinking about it earlier today, and I was like, let me look up some of this stuff. And so Zach was, I'd say probably last year, like, one of the seven best tight ends in football. Probably. You had guys like Kelsey. I know he kind of bonked out in the playoffs, but like, he pushed 1,000 yards. Kittle had a ridiculous year. Bowers had a ridiculous year. Andrews had a really good year statistically. Didn't score a ton of touchdowns, but like, still had a big year. But I think even some of the criticism that Zach got of like, oh, he's just a, you know, people think he like caught every pass for 3 yards. Like, Zach was, where is it in these notes? He was fourth in touchdowns, eighth in 20-plus yard catches, ninth in first down catches, and 11th in yards amongst tight ends in 2024. So if you think about, he was eighth in 20-plus yard catches. he was ninth in first downs. Like, this is a guy that moved the chains, and obviously we know what he meant to Jaden. We know what he meant on the field to Jaden, to be a security blanket. We talked about yesterday how he's a guy that moves the chains on fourth down, specifically, like, so many of those catches are on fourth down that he actually led the NFL in fourth down catches on the season. And then you compare it to some of the other tight ends in the league, and this is where I had to, like, go back and look, and this is my fault for not looking this up yesterday. First of all, Zach was making $3 million last year, so, you know, the idea that you're just going to bring him back on that when, you know, he's coming off Detroit's practice squad last year versus being a top 10 tight end in football probably this past year, like, okay, maybe that $6 million number, you double it. Like, it wasn't a crazy thought, but, you know, in 2020, for instance, Jimmy Graham had pretty similar numbers at a similar age, and he got an $8 million deal. Similar number that year for Greg Olsen, got $7 million. And that's a different cap environment and a different, you know, stress on tight ends now. So there's a really good chance that Zach is going to be pushing closer to $9, $10 million this year, based off of where the other veteran tight ends and where the tight end market is now versus the, hey, let's just double his salary and bring him back at $6 million, or compare it to, like, the Olsen or Graham deals 5 years ago, $7 million, $8 million. Like, his market value is probably closer to 9 or 10, which is a big chunk of the Commanders cap for considering how many holes they have to fill. That said, I would probably still, like, I want to know how much of that I could get in incentives.
That's what I was thinking.
To repeat, but also Zach has a say here. And also, like, my other question is, and this is what I don't know, is what's his market going to be? And I mean that both in terms of what other teams are interested. And I would imagine that, like, if I've got a young quarterback, like, if I'm a team like Carolina, do I want to go get Zach Ertz for Bryce Young? Hell yeah, I want to. So, like, there will be teams that are very interested in him. But also, how many teams does Zach want to play for? Like, and then what does that cost? And this is the tough conversation between, like, Zach and Adam and you know, Zach's reps is like, hey, man, we want you here. We know you want to be here. Part of the reason you want to be here is because we want to win a championship. Like, what's that mean to you in terms of, you know, you've made a ton of money in your career. His career earnings, I was just on his Spotrac page. His career earnings are $74.8 million. I know that's before taxes, but, like, at that point, if I can look at Zach Ertz and be like, hey, man, if you sign for $6 million, we can go get this other $4 million player. Do you need $10 million? Like, unfortunately, like, that's the way the league works. And so Zach might be like, sorry, you're going to have to figure that part out. Better draft well, sucker. You want me at $10 million or not? And that'd be totally within Zach, based on how he played. Like, that's totally within the realm of possibility and totally within fairness, I think, for a guy like Ertz, again, for what he brought on and off the field. And you got way more than he was worth last year. Like, if I had told you that it's a two-year, $13 million deal, and you kind of think of it that way, that's fair market value for Zach. That's like under actually market value for Zach Ertz for what he gave you last year. And then assuming that he has even 80% of the season that he would this year. So, like, that's the thing, as we start to get closer to free agency and we start to get closer to all of these deals and, like, the math starts to add up. Like, How do you make all these numbers add up is going to be a very interesting question. Because then, like, I think the same thing you ask about Bobby, like, right? I would love to get Bobby back on a one-year, $6.5 million deal. Is Bobby willing to do that? Or is Bobby going to look at, you know, say, hey, I was second team all pro. You got to pay me $10, $12 million because that's the going rate. Actually, I don't even know what the going rate for a veteran linebacker is right now. I got to look that up. But, like, That's I think one of the, when we talk about bringing players back, like, these are the questions that Adam Peters and company are having right now out in Ashburn.
Yeah, but I feel like when you see the news on, you know, Kelce deciding whether or not he wants to return and how he looked in the playoffs, and I think you just got to understand, you know, Father Time's going to hit. Not to say, you know, Zach Ertz can't duplicate what he did this season, but you also got to understand, you know, he also may be affected by, you know, getting older. And
for sure, I think, are you willing to look Zach Ertz in the face and be like, hey, man, you just had one of the best seasons of – you certainly had the best season you've had in a while.
In a while.
We need you. So we're not going to pay you because we need you. Like, that math doesn't math.
I mean, I think the incentive-laden route is the best way to go just because of that uncertainty of whether or not he's going to be as durable as he was last year. Like, that was also a huge surprise to everybody. He played 17 games, Craig.
Right. Totally. And we don't know whether that's going to be what he gets again, or is that going to be... like, was that an aberration? Because if I'm Zach, I'm like, yeah, part of the reason I played 17 games is because I went into last offseason healthy. Mm. And I'm going into this offseason healthy again. Like, I feel good about being able to play. Okay, fine, I can't guarantee you 17, but like 15 games? Like, if I get 15 games of what I got from Zach Ertz last year, like, I'd pay that guy $10 million.
Yeah.
So... This is the conundrum that Adam Peters is having. This is a fun conversation to carry over with Dan Pizzuta. We'll do that next on the Hoffman Show, as Dan's got his top 100 of 2025 in terms of NFL free agents. So we'll talk to Dan about all this next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. 4:30 on a Thursday, all football season. Man, we got to talk to our guy, Dan Pizzuta, from the 33rd team. And, well, the offseason, Dan put out his top 100 free agent list. And so we're like, let's just keep this appointment because we definitely need to talk to you about that. So with that, we welcome back to the show our good friend, Dan Pizzuta, from the 33rd team. Dan, how we doing?
Doing well. The off season, but it is absolutely not because nothing stops. So
no,
we're doing well.
Especially like this year was extra weird, I feel like, for me slash us in the DC market, because we are used to having a little bit of time to decompress. There was no decompression time. Like, you lost, you're sad about it, the Super Bowl happened, and now we're 2 weeks from the combine. And that is, look, they need to either win the Super Bowl or just, I need more time. We can't do the NFC Championship game. I've decided might be the worst time to lose, Dan, for me personally, which is clearly what matters here.
Yeah, I feel that. And definitely getting off the Super Bowl and going, you know what, I'm finally going to have some time to sleep. And then realizing that the combine is in 2 weeks and that is not going to happen at all. So we're like about a month away from actually, you know, getting some normal resting time during the week.
Yeah, then free agency is going to be chaotic, and that returns us to your top 100 list. Before we get there, we were just talking about Zach Ertz, who I'm sure is on your list somewhere in the tight end class. And we had a conversation on the show yesterday where I definitely undervalued Ertz in terms of the money. I didn't realize just how much the tight end market had jumped the last couple of years, where Ertz, if you look at the current market, you know, I was like, I don't know, he made $3 million last year, but he's coming off a year where he basically didn't play. And it was like, I don't know, $6-7 million somewhere in there. And you go look at the market, and it's like, no, this dude's probably a $9 or $10 million player. What do you make of the current tight end market? The fact that position is getting paid like it should, because tight ends are such weapons in the NFL, especially when deployed properly, and how Zach fits into that market specifically this year, and specifically for Washington.
Yeah, so I actually wrote about the tight end market leading up to the Super Bowl last year, and I am still of the opinion that the tight end market, while it's, you know, getting higher and these guys are getting paid more, it's still a very undervalued position, especially when you are looking at the guys who can catch the ball, at a high rate. You still look at like Travis Kelce right now, what his like average annual deal is, like getting paid $17 million. That's a low end wide receiver too right now. And when you are looking at, you know, the peaks of these types of guys, they are outperforming, you know, what that is going to you know, be on the cap and how much you would have to pay for a wide receiver to have that same type of receiving ability. So I think there is still an undervalued aspect of even paying top of the market tight ends. So Ertz is definitely going to be interesting because, one, this is not a great tight end class in free agency, but it is, at least from, you know, what I've seen, I haven't completely, you know, gotten into the draft class yet, but it does appear to be a very solid class of tight ends coming into the league. So considering that there is not a lot of tight ends in this free agency class, I think I have Zach Ertz as the, you know, number two tight end behind, you know, Juwan Johnson, just because Johnson is a little younger, but they're still, you know, pretty far down where that top 100 is. So I think Ertz, if you do believe, especially for a team like Washington, do believe he's going to have that type of value, especially in the middle of the field, even if you're paying him, you know, 9-10, which is around the top of the tight end market, that's still way below what you would be paying a wide receiver to have that same type of, you know, impact in the passing game.
Dan Pizzuta, 33rd team with us here on the Hoffman Show. So interestingly enough, you've got Zach on your list at 63 overall as the second best tight end. And two spots later, you have Diami Brown. And just for reference here, what do you think that Diami, I don't know how much you've done, so I'm putting you in a bad spot here, I apologize, and we can find another way to ask some similar question, but like, what is Diami Brown worth on the open market in terms of dollars? And then we can compare that to the, let's say, $10 million that it might cost to keep Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what Diami is probably going to come in at, you know, I have not sure exactly, but when you look at, you know, Alan Lazard, like 2 years ago, was getting $11 million per year, right? Darnell Mooney just got 13 last offseason. So you're probably putting Brown maybe around there. You're still putting that in a, you know, maybe like 9 to 13 range for a receiver of his caliber, especially someone who, you know, if he gets a little more playing time, has the ability to stretch the field on the outside. That is something that so many teams really need to be looking for. And I think that is going to be a value to a lot of teams on the open market. So you're probably looking at those guys, especially since Brown is a bit younger, going to be in around the same value in terms of the average, you know, cap hit or at least the average salary. So you are probably paying about the same. You know, Ertz is going to be a lot older, but when you have a team like, you know, Washington, you are focusing a little more on, you know, needing some of that production in the middle of the field. So that's where, you know, you kind of have Ertz coming in as a potential value there when you are kind of potentially paying the same amount for those two players.
Yeah, for sure. And not to mention what Zach brought off the field, the comfort that he has with Jaden. And I think they'd love to bring Diami back, but if at $13 million a year, like that's you got to play him a lot at that. And I don't know that that's the role that he actually is best in. Okay. What is, you look at the contour of this free agency class, like what are the positions that are really strong to you? And then what positions is there going to be a dogfight? Cause there's just not a lot of guys that are available.
Yeah, where the strongest pieces right now, if you are looking to, you know, build a defense up the spine, the interior defensive line is pretty strong. You got two really good guys up top there in Osa Digizu and Milton Williams. Linebacker is very deep, and safety, I think, is pretty deep. Where at all three of those positions, you have some really good guys at the top, but if you're missing out at that top tier, you're still getting some pretty good players as you get further down. You know, edge, as we talked about, I think last week or whenever we were talking about Myles Garrett, I don't even remember when that trade request happened. Everything, you know, kind of blends together. Edge is going to be that position where I think a lot of people are going to try to be looking at the top, you know, look for that Josh Sweat. And if you miss out, it gets pretty shallow pretty quickly. And I think it's going to be kind of the same thing at wide receiver. I think every team wants to bring in T. Higgins. You have, you know, Chris Godwin, who's going to come off an injury right below that. And then you have, like, you know, Stephon Diggs and Amari Cooper. You're looking at some of these kind of older guys who Bob's produced, you're still kind of hoping they have a little bit left in them. But after T. Higgins, it's a pretty, you know, solid drop off between like what you can guarantee you're going to get. But that is going to be a place where I think teams definitely want to go out and get that top guy and might be kind of fighting. And I think T. Higgins, if he hits the market, doesn't stay in Cincinnati, is going to be getting a lot of money because of that.
Where, like, how do you try to value Chris Godwin? And spoiler alert for folks, Dan values him a lot because he's got him third overall on this list. A guy that has always been the number two to Mike Evans by nature of Mike being the incumbent, like, future Hall of Famer, but really was the driving point of that Tampa offense earlier this season until he has that really nasty injury. So between the injury and, like, kind of not knowing where that is, what kind of dollars do you think Godwin gets? And do you think that Tampa would be willing to pay that to even let him onto the market in the first place?
Yeah, I think Tampa is going to be tough just because of, you know, who they do have currently paid and some of the just, you know, cap constrictions that they have a little bit with, you know, that Baker Mayfield deal. They can, you know, restructure that a little bit, but the way they did that 3-year deal, his cap is going to jump from like $9 million that it was in 2024 to about, you know, 39, I think, in 2025. So you have that big leap on that 3-year deal. You still have Mike Evans under contract. So there are a lot of things that are going. I think, you know, Godwin's going to be, you know, in that, you know, low tier, and especially with how big the wide receiver market has jumped over the past couple of years, where you're looking at guys in that range easily over, you know, $20 million. You're looking at a Jalen Waddle who's averaging, you know, 28.25, Tyreek Hill at, you know, over 30 years old is getting 30. So he's going to be at least, you know, somewhere in that, you know, 25 to, you know, 30 million-dollar deal average per year range, and maybe even more a little bit because he is on the open market and there are going to be multiple teams going for him. And I think what kind of we've seen with these deals that have been at the top of the market now, pretty much all of them are extensions. So we haven't really seen a top tier free agent hit that. Like Calvin Ridley was the highest and he got 23. And Chris Godwin right now coming off the injury is a better receiver than Chris Godwin, yeah, coming off the injury is a better receiver than Calvin Ridley was at this point last year when he signed, you know, 4 years, $92 million. So Godwin's going to definitely surpass that, especially with it a year later and the cap still going up.
Dan Pizzuto, 33rd team. His top 100 is out now at the 33rdteam.com. So last year, it was very clear there were certain guys that Washington was targeting, and they had a laser focus on, obviously, Bobby and Zach was even a pre-free agency signing. So they had those two vets. But guys like Frankie Louvu, where they're like, this is the kind of player that we want. When you think of what currently makes a Washington Commander and you kind of go down your list, was there anybody that as you're making and stacking that 100 that you're like, that guy is a great fit in Washington?
I think we kind of talked about it a little bit last week or 2 weeks ago, where I think Ernest Jones is a really fun fit as a potential Bobby Wagner replacement at linebacker. And I think adding his ability to play the run in coverage, and you put a guy next to Frankie Louvu who makes the job of that guy playing next to him a lot easier too because of just how aggressive he is playing downhill and just kind of with the range all over the place. I think that would be a very fun fit for this defense in free agency. Other than that, it's kind of tough to see because a lot of, you know, the other places, like, you know, there's a bunch of safeties that I kind of, you know, thought could help, like a Talanoa Hufanga, I think could be a very fun fit playing that kind of box safety type of role. But they have a lot of versatility to play there, too. So I think like there are players like that who I think would kind of seamlessly fit into what Washington's doing on defense. And that's kind of where you think about some of these guys coming into Washington fitting this defense just because, you know, they had so many 1-year deals there. So you do also have to plug some of those holes. So I think if you get like one of those top tier linebackers or safeties, that could go a long way in helping out this Washington defense.
Real quick on that front, Jeremy Chinn, you have down, I think it's 75th. I've been scrolling up and down your article, so we're just going to, somewhere in that, I think maybe it was 73. But you have him in that range. Where, like, how deep in the safety class is he? And do you think that Washington can get him? I don't want to say cheap, but like if they sign him on a multi-year deal, how much are they saving on a guy like Chinn versus going after the higher end in Tufunga?
Yeah, there's probably going to be a bit of a difference there. I have Jeremy Chinn right now as, you know, safety eight, it looks like. But again, with safety, it is such it's a deep class where I think you're not going to go wrong with a lot of places. Like I have Justin Reed right now at safety five. And he's really good and still really young as he's going into his, you know, third contract coming over from Houston, going to Kansas City on a pretty, you know, decent deal. And then he's going to be hitting free agency again. And I think he's still only, you know, 28 or 29. So you have a lot of guys that I think in some ways will suppress the market a little bit because we still haven't seen that safety explosion that I still think kind of should be coming in the same way that, you know, tight end happened. You know, I think we've gotten some of the top of the market with like an Antoine Winfield Jr. when he got paid and Derwin James. But other than that, we haven't completely seen this market really hit. So I think anywhere you go with safety, even if you are sitting at the top of the market, I think still think you're getting a relative deal based on how much of an impact they have in the modern way defenses are played to, especially in, you know, a Dan Quinn defense that's going to be very nickel heavy. But sometimes we'll use that, you know, third safety to come down, play in the box a little bit. You want versatility there. So I think wherever you go on this, you know, safety market, even if you're paying top of the market at the position, I think you're going to be getting a pretty good deal based on what they are going to bring to the defense.
So one of the guys that I've got circled for Washington to keep an eye on, and I know this might sound absurd at first, is Osa Odighizuwa because of the Dan Quinn connection. But I think they'll ultimately move on from John Allen because it just makes too much sense contractually to not. And they drafted Jerzon Newton knowing that he's a probable eventual replacement for John or Duran. The way the contracts work, John is up first, and I could definitely see them with the production. He actually played well when he came back from the injury, but the way he played before and the way he's played the last couple of years, really, I could definitely see them moving on from him. So assuming that they are in that market, what do you think about Odighizuwa reuniting, and where do you have him on your defensive tackle rankings?
Yeah, I have him. I have him 10th right now, and I have him as the number one interior defensive lineman.
So 10th overall, first defensive tackle.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I have him above Milton Williams right now, and I know a lot of people have been watching. The Eagles saw kind of what Milton Williams was able to do as a pass rusher, but Osa Odighizuwa has been on the field more often, and is also, I think, just as good, if not better, of a pass rusher as Milton Williams has been on the inside. And I think he brings a little more in run defense too. So, and he's only about a little under a year older than Milton Williams. So I think if the Washington does want to do that, especially with the relative lack of edge rushers on the free agent market, like if you're not getting going older and getting a Khalil Mack or a Josh Sweat, which Josh Sweat is going to be paid a lot of money just based on who the edges are in free agency and what he was able to do, you know, in this playoff run. So if you want to go interior, I think Osa Odighizuwa is a very good fit. Obviously does have the Dan Quinn connection, like you said. I think he's just as good, if not better, of a pass rusher as Milton Williams. Brings a little more in the run defense, can stay on the field, is a guy who is able to, you know, play more snaps in there, doesn't have to be rotated out quite as much. So I would love that fit. And right now, yeah, he is my number one interior defensive lineman.
Quarterback market. Darnold is the one that I think is super interesting. Obviously, Rodgers looks like he'll be on the market as well. But how do you think teams value Sam Darnold? And I mean, obviously there's the question of teams, including Minnesota. Do they bring him back for one more year to make sure that McCarthy is ready, or do they just roll with the guy they drafted in the top 15 last year? But Darnold getting outside the Kevin O'Connell bubble, what kind of value do you think teams are putting on him?
I mean, he's going to be valued highly, just because, and I went through, I had an article go up today about kind of looking at the quarterback landscape for every team. And there's just a chunk of teams right now who they don't know who their starter is going to be going into next season or even just going into the off season. And it's not only that Darnold is easily the number one option, but when you have a quarterback class coming into the draft, where you have maybe, you know, two first round guys who are going to be coming out, and no one is like super excited about those two first round guys. It's not even like if it was last year and it was only two, but it was still, you know, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Like, it's not a two in that way. And I think we probably had like, you know, five or six guys last year who would have come out before the top two guys this year. So the fact that it is, there are so few quarterback options, I think Sam Darnold is going to get a lot of money. I would be very hesitant to be doing that if I were a team who would be going out to pay him. I mean, I have him relatively high in the free agency rankings just because he is the number one quarterback, but he is not necessarily a guy I would feel good paying, especially because of those last two games that he had, kind of showing that it's still a little bit of the old Darnold. And I think Minnesota just had the most ideal circumstance for him throughout this season. And then it still wasn't, you know, the best version of quarterback play that we've seen. So he's going to get a lot of attention just because there is there's a lot of need at that position. There are not a lot of players right now who are filling all of the holes that are at quarterback right now. Like, the Giants right now do not have a quarterback on the roster. The Steelers right. only have Skylar Thompson on their roster. Like, this is a league right now is desperate for a quarterback play. And Sam Darnold's going to be hitting free agency at the right time.
And there are not many good available, in, as you said, in the draft, in free agency. And then we'll see, like, does someone go crazy trying to trade for a guy like Matthew Stafford? And do the Rams just go, sorry, Matt, we're sending you to New York. We heard your brother-in-law is working there. Like, good luck. Last thing I want to ask you, Dan, kind of bringing the conversation full circle, because one other guy that you've mentioned a couple times, but he's a position of need for Washington, and he is an older player, is Khalil Mack. And so as we're talking, we started talking about Ertz, we'll end talking about Mack. How do you value, now I don't say you value in terms of how you build your top 100 list, how do teams try to figure out the right number for a guy that they definitely don't want to give long-term money to? They need to pay enough that he picks them, but also you're kind of hedging your bets because you don't want to be the team that signs the guy who finally hits the age cliff.
Yeah, it's probably going to be one of those things where it is, you know, either it's probably going to be like a short-term deal where you kind of either, you know, have a lot of void years at the end where you're, you know, stretching out some of the, you know, guaranteed money that you're giving in there, you know, either a two-year deal with like two void years or something just to stretch it out, or you're, you know, going a one-year deal or a multi-year deal where there's not a lot of guaranteed money. I think there is a couple of different ways to do that. I think the raw numbers on a Khalil Mack deal, wherever he is going to sign, are probably going to look pretty big, but I think there are going to be a lot of ways for whichever team is signing him where they're going to make sure that, you know, if he does eventually, you know, fall off an age cliff, he's still been a very productive pass rusher when he's been on the field. But I think they are going to figure out ways where they are not going to be really, you know, built in and closed in on paying him a lot of guaranteed money if that is something where, you know, he isn't, if he falls off a cliff a little sooner than you would expect, you know, signing him to a big free agent deal.
Dan Pizzuto writing about all of this and more at the 33rd Team. Dan, always appreciate your time, sir. And if we don't find an excuse to talk to you next week, I will definitely see you 2 weeks in Indianapolis.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate it.
That's Dan Pizzuto with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, Ben Standing, he wrote a piece in The Athletic asking how the Commanders can get closer to the Eagles, who, of course, just won the Super Bowl. We'll explore that thought with Ben next on the Team 980.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.